start off with the context behind the revelation. And it shows us the power and impact of words. Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had revelation pause for a period of time. Some of the scholars mentioned 2 weeks, some of the scholars mentioned a couple of months, but it was a short period of time. And at that time, the wife of Abu Jahl, she comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she says, "Look, even your Lord has abandoned you now." And the context behind this is some of his family members had not only rejected the message of Islam, but had obviously become very, very aggressive in their rejection. Like Abu Jahl, like Abu Lahab, they were very aggressive in their rejection. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he felt down that not all of his family members were willing to accept Islam. And even if you weren't choosing to accept Islam, that's perfectly fine. That's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the very least, don't stop others from accepting it as well. A second part to this is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fallen sick for some time and he was unable to pray tahajjud and to pray qiyamul layl. And thus, he felt bad himself that perhaps this was the reason why revelation was no longer coming down. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this expectation of him that you have to pray tahajjud and qiyamul layl every single night. And he perceived it as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that now revelation is being withheld. So as the 12th surah that was sent down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Surah Al-Duha. The highlight of the surah, like every surah will have like one verse in it, which is like the crux of the surah. So in Surah Fatiha, it's Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. In Surah Al-Baqarah, it's Ayatul Kursi. In Surah Al-Duha, it's Ma'wadda'aka Rabbuka wa ma'qala. That your Lord has not abandoned you, nor does He detest you. And this shows us this human element of being loved and to love as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew how much he deeply loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he needed to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him as well. And if that is the messenger of Allah who is receiving revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how about the average normal believer? Their need for reassurance to know that they're loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we know if we are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is how I want to explore the surah with you, earning the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Surah Al-Duha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by saying, "Wal-Duha," by this morning light that has broken the dawn and shines upon everything that exists. Jazakumullah khairan, thank you so much. And shines upon everything that exists. What is this duha meant to reflect? Number one, it came out of the darkness. Meaning that after times were dark and things were dark, this light broke the darkness and came about and took over everything. Similarly to kufr, that once Islam came, it completely wiped it out. And it can no longer exist. The both cannot simultaneously exist at the same time. You either have kufr or you have iman. There is no in between. So prior to revelation, this was jahiliyyah. And then after revelation, we now have Islam. And Islam is that ultimate light. For ourselves, this is a reminder that everything is temporary. Everything has its limited amount of time. Things are hard in life. Don't worry, that hardship will be over soon and things will be easy. The delusion happens when things are easy. People think things are going to be easy forever. But the reality is even the ease comes to an end and then there will be darkness again. So once that light has come, understand that there's going to be darkness thereafter. But once there's darkness, never lose hope of the light because that light shall return as well. A second understanding of this duha is what we are meant to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua that, "Oh Allah, bless my ummah in the early parts of their morning." Meaning that you are meant to be working hard in the early part of the morning. For their time, we can understand before the sun hit its zenith and its pinnacle and the day become, you know, unbearably hot. You want to try to get as much done as possible during that time. But also from our perspectives, our minds are the freshest and the early parts of the morning. So if you want to memorize the Quran, one of the best times to do it is to memorize it after Fajr. You want to do business, some of the best time to do business is right after Fajr. You want to study, some of the best time to study is right after Fajr. There's something about that period of time where there actually is more barakah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, work hard during that time, either for your deen or either for the dunya, but don't waste it sleeping away. Make the most of that time. One of the best times to go to the gym, early in the morning, right after Fajr, right? So amazing time to do amazing things with it. Don't let it go to waste just by sleeping throughout the whole day. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And the night by it when it settles. So you're busy during the day. There's a lot of hustle and bustle during the day. But when nighttime comes, everything settles down. You as a human being are meant to settle down. And this is where we need to change, have a cultural shift. Nighttime does not mean, hey, let's go out and party. And hey, let's stay up all night and do X, Y, and Z. Even if you're doing something halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the layl as a libas. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And we have made the night as a covering, right? That is your time to relax. That is your time to de-stress. Rabi' al-Adawiyah, she used to say that the nighttime comes, every lover is with their beloved. The people are of the dunya are with those whom they love, and the people of the akhirah are spending their nights with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that nighttime is for you to be in a restful place, in a calming place, for you to give your body and your soul what it needs. Either what it needs is rest, or what it needs is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you should be doing something calm and serene. Now, if you do this in contrast to what was the first part, if you're working hard during the day, then you rest at night. But if you're working for the dunya during the day, then you work for your akhirah at night. And there's no better deed that you can do after the fara'id than to wake up in the middle of the night and do your acts of ibadah during that time. Whether it is the recitation of the Quran, whether it is to pray tahajjud and qiyamul layl, whether it is to make istighfar, whether it is to make dua, that is your opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to remind myself and you of this, that we all wait for the 27th night of Ramadan. Let us go to the masjid, let us make dua, because we know that is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our duas. Right? That's what we tell ourselves. I have to make dua on this night because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept my dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in a hadith that reaches the level of mutawatir, meaning it's been shared by so many people that it is impossible that it could have been a fabrication or a lie. And that is in the last third of the night, in a manner befitting His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, he descends to the lowest heaven and he asks, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive them? Is there anyone asking of anything so that I may grant it to them? My dear brothers and sisters, if there's ever been something that you have wanted and needed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need to wait till the last 10 nights of Ramadan to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those things. You can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single night in the last third of the night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to hear from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to confess your sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone so that He can forgive you for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant you what your heart desires from this dunya and from the next. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. And we miss out on this opportunity regularly. But I share this as a reminder because as we get closer to winter and Fajr gets later, that means we have more of an opportunity to wake up in the last third of the night and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek forgiveness and to ask for the things that we want. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes an oath by the day and He takes an oath by the night. So all of time has now been covered and He answers this oath by saying, your Lord does not detest you, nor has He abandoned you. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you and He will always be there for you. This is a doubt of shaitan, often as a result of our sins, but we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love His creation. Or we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be there for His creation. We look at the world with a physical lens and we ask, where is Allah? But if you had that spiritual lens on, all you would see is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are always there in front of us. So when we feel distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left us or abandoned us. It's because now there is a spiritual veil. Sins have come into play. Doubt has come into play. And thus you feel distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. And this is the beauty of revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the final surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, not the final revelation, but the final complete surah that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, how does it conclude? إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the oft forgiving and will always be there to forgive you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive His slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happier with the repentance of His slaves. He's more happier with our repentance than the individual that had everything while traveling on a journey, came to a stop, and then lost everything. SubhanAllah, they lost everything. And they despaired as if they were going to die. So they fell asleep under a tree, and when they woke up, everything had returned to them. The individual that lost everything and despaired to die and then got everything back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happier with the tawbah of his slave than this man. Than this man. So this is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when we turn back to him. So it is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has rejected us and abandoned us. It is humanity that has rejected God. It is humanity that has neglected God. You know, not to get all philosophical on you, but when you study philosophy, Nietzsche's, you know, claim to fame almost was his claim on how we have killed God. We have made God irrelevant in society through secularism. God has no place in our lives anymore, right? If God does have a place in our life, oh, it's only in our places of worship and that's about it. And as Muslims, we can't embrace that. We shouldn't embrace that. God has a very integral component of our lives, which is to dictate how we live, how we die. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, my living and my dying, my sacrifice and my prayer, all of it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the one that detests us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that loves us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the one that has rejected us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that embraces us and wants us to get closer to Him. When the slave takes a step towards Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running towards them. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَى الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And that which is to come is better than that which exists right now. The Meccans persecuted the Muslims like we can't even imagine. Like we can't even imagine, subhanAllah. The family of Ammar ibn Yasir, how were they killed, subhanAllah? How were they martyred? Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was stabbed in her very abdomen with a spear. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be laid out flat with a heavy stone on him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be mocked and ridiculed. And even then, they were not allowed to respond. You had to just turn the other cheek and accept it, because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from them. So when will this pain end? When will this misery end? They needed a motivation to get through it. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. That which is to come is better than that which exists right now. And this can also be understood in two ways, that when Medina comes, things will be better in terms of the persecution. It would have ended by then. But also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your pain and your suffering has value. It has purpose, which is in Jannah you will be generously rewarded. And once you get to Jannah, you're not going to remember any of the pain that you experienced. All you're going to have is bliss upon joy. So if you can just get through these difficult moments in this life and just get to Jannah, it will all be worth it. And this is what we constantly need to remind ourselves of, that as we experience individual pain and suffering, as we experience communal pain and suffering, that it will all come to an end sooner or later. We just need to get to Jannah. So focus on the ultimate goal, which is getting to Jannah, and everything else will solve itself. But if you make this dunya your priority, not only do you end up losing this dunya, but you end up losing the akhirah as well. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord will give you and you will be pleased. So now the question arises, okay, you know, I believe in Jannah, but will I actually be happy in there? Will it actually be something worthwhile? The very one that spoke the Quran and revealed the Quran to us gives us His word. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you of Jannah, you will be pleased. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
In Jannah, you will be pleased. There will be no jealousy. There will be no disappointment. There will be no anger. There will be no disappointment. All of that will be replaced by joy. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. That they will have each and every single thing that they desire, and we will still have more to give them. And I want you to reflect on that for a moment. How is it possible that you will have each and every single one of your desires fulfilled, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still have more to give you? What does that mean? How can we fathom that? How can we understand that? And the point is that you cannot fully understand it. You cannot fully fathom it. You have to embrace it at face value, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that all of our desires will be fulfilled in Jannah. All of them. There's not a single one of them that will be left unfulfilled. And somehow, some way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still have more to give you. That is the reality of Jannah. So this is a further motivational factor that not only will the pain and suffering end in this life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared something great for you in the hereafter in this name of Jannah. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And He will give you and you will be pleased. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَأَوَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you as an orphan and take care of you? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the structure of the surah here, because instead of the Prophet ﷺ longing for something and being motivated by something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now increasing the certainty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. The Prophet ﷺ is meant to have absolute, full and total certainty in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not abandoned him, nor does He detest him. That which is to come is better than exists, than that which exists right now. And in the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him and he will be pleased. So how do you increase your certainty? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you as an orphan and take care of you? And this is why towards the ending of the surah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually told to take care of the orphan child. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of you, you now have to take care of the orphan child. But we'll get to that when we get to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this method of reminding us of the past to uplift our certainty and to increase our certainty. So here's a reminder for all of us. Is there any hardship? Is there any calamity that you did not survive? Is there any difficulty that you went through that you did not survive? And the answer is no. You've survived every difficulty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent your way and that you have experienced. What does that show us? That you are a resilient creature, that you can survive and you can surpass any of those difficulties. And this is why if you look at the greatest communal difficulty that this ummah has ever faced, it was in the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذَا أَصَابَ أَحَدُكُمْ بِمُصِيبَةٍ فَلْيَذْكُرْ مُصِيبَتُهُ بِي فَإِنَّهَا أَعْظَمَ الْمَصَائِبِ. That if any of you ever faces a calamity, let them remember my death, for that was the greatest calamity. Meaning that if the ummah can survive the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ummah can survive anything. And this is why time and time again, we have continued to survive. And we have continued to be resilient. The Mongols couldn't kill us. The Tartars couldn't kill us. The Crusades couldn't kill us. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect this deen till the day of judgment. The only thing we don't know is, will we be a part of the victory plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are. So the certainty is being increased. So be certain that this ummah will be victorious and be certain that you will be resilient to overcome any of those trials, individual or communal. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you uninformed and guided you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know how to read or write. But this is not a criticism. This is just a circumstance of the situation that he was brought in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him something greater. which was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became not only the final messenger to receive revelation, but he became the epitome of good character. That if you want to look at what good character looks like, it was who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. That the revelation completely transformed our understanding of morality and ethics, because it came from the divine. It came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was definitely that which was best for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied it. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. That did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you uninformed and guided you. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you dependent and granted you self-sufficiency? And subhanAllah, this has so many interpretations behind it. But before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets Khadija, he has a very humble and simple life. But through Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he became prosperous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had increased his level of wealth. But also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through revelation, was also taught not to covet wealth anymore. That you do not need to be a slave to wealth. You can live a comfortable life as long as you're a slave of Allah and not a slave of wealth. So here, this independence is to be free from the shackles of the dunya. For some people it will be wealth, for other people it will be status, for other people it will be fame, for other people it will be clout. It will be a variety of different things. But if you want freedom in this life, be a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be free from everything else. But if you become a slave to something in this dunya, know that you have set yourself up for a life of misery and pain. The more you disconnect from Allah and connect to something in this dunya and attach to it and dependent upon it, the more miserable life becomes. True happiness, true pleasure in this life can only be attained in becoming a slave and servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True pain and misery is the more you get detached from Allah and you get attached to something else. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah by telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, we've done a lot of work on your internal self. You've increased in certainty. You recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you and is there for you, and the future is optimistic and bright, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you this paradise with which you will be pleased. But you got to work to get there. Now, what are the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told? He's commanded with, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. That as for the orphan child, never turn them away. وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the one that comes questioning you, never leave them either. So the orphan child, my dear brothers and sisters, we've heard it time and time again in our fundraisers. But what we need to remind ourselves of in the caring of others is the softening of our hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us that when you caress the head of the orphan child, that softens your heart. And that's what we need to remind ourselves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered this job so noble that he took care of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an orphan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reminded over here that you have to become the champion of the orphans, because these are the most vulnerable segments of society. You defend them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend you. You don't defend them and you allow them to be exploited, and then the ummah is humiliated and disgraced. And when we stopped standing up for justice, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to be humiliated and disgraced. So we have to take care of the most vulnerable segments of our society, and it starts with those orphan children. It's not just something that we do as a charitable act of giving money, but it's about developing a deep sense of empathy for those who are being tested and tried and now have become most vulnerable. Then those that come questioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, day and night, people would question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had to entertain their questions and give them answers and make sure that he fulfilled the risala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him as the final and last messenger. Can we just take a moment to empathize with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That there was going to be no prophet and messenger after him. He had to deliver the message with the utmost perfection and diligence, because there was no one coming to correct him. There was no one coming with another message. There was no one coming to remind the people. It had to be a message delivered so perfectly that it would stand the test of time till the day of judgment. So that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt this immense burden that regardless of how people came, in rudeness or kindness, regardless of when they came, day or night, regardless of what they came with, a simple question or a complicated one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be there to help them. And he wasn't allowed to turn people away. But in this is also a secret. The more you help others, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you. The more you bring comfort and happiness to others, the more comfort and happiness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to you in your life. So as long as you're doing good deeds, you will be drowning in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be enveloped and engulfed in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the surah concludes by saying, even though so much persecution was going on at that time, physically, emotionally, psychologically, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ, that as for the blessings of your Lord, claim them to the people. The Mufassirun said the Prophet ﷺ was shy of claiming prophethood, that he now openly proclaim it, but the general concept, الْعِبْرَةُ بِعُمُمِ اللَّفْ لَا بِخُسُوسِ السَّبَبْ, that the generality of the wording is what the lesson that we derive from it is. That all blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we use them to remind ourselves of how, you know, blessed we are. But we also use it to inspire hope into others. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much. And is that not reason enough to be optimistic for the future? Is that not reason enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of all of His affairs? I'll conclude with this. This is my concluding point, inshallah. That this surah in of itself has so many benefits to it. If you pay attention to it, the beginning of the surah is working for your dunya and for your akhirah. Make that your priority. Make the dunya, you know, make the most of it as you can in the morning, and your nighttime spend it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual that does this will be successful and will feel fulfilled, inshallah. Number two, we all need to be reminded of those things that will help us feel certain, which is to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which to know that the future is brighter and to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a jannah with which we will be pleased. And this technique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to remind us of the past. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find you an orphan? And for us, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not find us not knowing anything and not being able to do anything and took care of us and allowed us to reach this stage in our lives? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt. Now once your certainty has increased, you have to move forward. You have to work hard. You work hard and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases your levels in Jannah. And at the head of all of the blessings of Allah is to be able to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remind the people of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My concluding point. My dear brothers and sisters, I know certain people felt sad yesterday. And that was in the sense of thinking that the Palestinian resistance has come to an end. Thinking that subhanAllah, the leaders of the resistance have now died. How are we ever going to get out of this? I remind myself and you that when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa, one of his first actions was to remove Khalid ibn Walid as the general of the Muslim army. Because people used to think that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the cause of victory for the Ummah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to remind the Ummah that victory always came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses different conduits throughout history. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu happens to be one of them. Similarly, in the freedom of Philistine, in the resistance of Philistine, that victory is going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not going to come at the result of any one human being. But it will be a collective effort of us making dua, of us strengthening our relationship with Allah and seeking forgiveness, of us giving sadaqah, of us advocating and lobbying, of us resisting and protesting, of us standing up for justice. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses one from amongst us as that leader, as that conduit to be a cause of victory. Never think that victory came from human beings. It always came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this surah indicates just that, that in the most darkest of moments, you have to remember that the future is bright. Without all of these incidents that took place early on in the seerah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being set up for a much brighter and greater future in Medina and even brighter in Jannah. You have to be that optimistic. And that is the ultimate lesson to take away from the surah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to the people of Philistine and grant us the ability to overcome our trials as well. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.